We have been studying the parables all summer long. We're coming to the end of our study on the parables and getting ready to start a new study. But these last parables that we're looking at, last week, this Sunday, and then next Sunday, are all kind of serving to prepare us for this new study we're going to begin on the 29th of this month, a study called Not a Fan. Now, again, I'm going to put in a plug for this. Next Sunday morning, we will be having our Friends Day. I want to encourage you to be here, but the most important thing for that is not only bring a friend, but please, please, please plan to stay after the meal. Now, I know a lot of times, you know, we have our meal, we have a good time, and then everybody, you pack up and we leave. Not this coming Sunday. I want you to plan and stay for the video that we're going to have. Brethren, this study, and I think that the elders and their wives, we've been going through this study on Sunday mornings. We finished the fifth lesson this morning. They will tell you this is life-changing stuff. Okay? So please, plan to stay after the meal next Sunday. We got to do a quick cleanup afterwards, but we'll be back in here to watch that video. And that will really kind of set things up for our Not a Fan study that will begin on the 29th. Now, just to clarify if there's any confusion that's going on, we will begin the Not a Fan study lessons on Sunday morning that I'll be preaching on the 29th. That evening, we'll have our fifth Sunday singing here. We're hosting that. We will start the video series on Sunday nights on the first Sunday in October and run for six Sunday nights there. I'll talk more about that next Sunday after we watch the video, but just so that you kind of have an idea of what we're doing. So as we look at these parables, we're really kind of looking at some ideas that will help us to become better followers of Jesus. This particular parable, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Jesus tells this parable, but we're told the reason for this parable right at the very beginning. If you go back and you look at it, verse 9, the reason that Jesus tells this parable to begin with is to straighten out the thinking of some of those who, he says, were confident in their own righteousness. See? So this is a parable that's designed to correct some really dangerous thinking. Dangerous to our souls. When we get to thinking that we're good and we're good enough based on what we do and who we are, then we're in trouble. And so Jesus, as he tells this parable, he's telling it with that intention to correct the thinking of those who are confident in their own self-righteousness. You see, the thinking on the part of the people, and especially the religious leaders of Jesus' day, and more especially, in particular, the Pharisees, you see, their thinking was that they were saved, and their salvation consisted of mainly two things. Number one, who they were. They were Israelites. And number two, what they did. They kept the law of Moses. And so their concept of being right with God really consisted of those two things, almost to the extent that they felt like because they had those two things going for them, that God had to save them. You see? It's almost kind of like, you know, hey, we kept the rules, and so we deserve to go to heaven and be with God. In their thinking, keeping the rules was the most important thing. Make sure you keep the rules, because keeping the rules made one holy. And when someone was holy, then God had to accept you. That was their frame of mind. And so Jesus wants them to understand there's more to being a disciple of Jesus and a follower of God than keeping the rules. And I'm afraid that there are a lot of people in the Lord's church today who need to have their thinking corrected in the same way. You see, I think that, you know, we go through this parable, maybe we can look at it and see, you know, would we find ourselves in the same place and perhaps maybe saying something like, Lord, I'm thankful that we're not like all the other denominations out there. And that we get to thinking that being saved consists of being baptized by the right person in the right place and worshiping in the place with the right name on the building and covering the five acts of worship that we have to make sure that we cover. And it consists of not using instrumental music, of course, and returning at the next appointed time. In other words, do we kind of have this concept that because we have all those things right and we do all of those things in the right way, in the right manner, and make sure that we do two songs and a prayer and another song, you know, and we do things in that proper order, that somehow through all of those things we become holy and therefore we've earned our right to go to heaven? So, in other words, have we become confident in our own righteousness with that kind of thinking? You see, what we have to understand is that following the rules today won't save us any more than following the law did for the Israelites back then. Because it's not about following the rules. It's about following Jesus. You see? Jesus doesn't want us to just follow a bunch of rules. He wants us to follow Him. And there's a big difference between those two things. We look at this parable as Jesus begins to tell about these two men that went into the temple to pray. And the first one is this Pharisee. And you look at what Jesus says about him. And here is a situation where the Pharisee goes in and he's praying before God. And basically what he's doing is he's boasting about himself by comparing himself to others. Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm not like other men, you know, who are robbers and liars and all these terrible things that they do. Or even like this tax collector. I'm so thankful that I'm not like him. And then he starts talking about all the good things that he does. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything that I own. Again, the rules. What a righteous person that he is. I'm thankful that I'm not like other men, not like this tax collector. You see, one of the things you have to understand about tax collectors in Jesus' day, they were kind of looked on by the rest of their people, that is the Israelites. They were looked upon as traitors to their people. Because what they were doing was they were collecting the taxes from their own people and they were giving it to the Roman government. And so they were traitors. That's why when we read so often in the gospel accounts, you hear a statement that says where they are compared, and it says they are like sinners and tax collectors. You see, they lumped them all together. You see, they're sinners and tax collectors. And to the mind of the average Israelite, a tax collector was worse than the average sinner. You see? So being a tax collector was being a traitor to your own people. And this man in his self-righteousness is thankful that he's not like him and boasting to God about all of his good works. I couldn't help but think as I was studying these things and looking over them that how much of a comparative type of society and culture we live in today. You stop and think about it. You know, don't we really kind of constantly look at ourselves and compare ourselves to one another and other people back and forth? You see? I mean, you know, let's be honest about it. You know, when it comes to all kinds of different things, it's how we look. Why is there so much, you know, stuff on TV constantly about losing weight and all these different exercise programs and everything else? Because we're constantly looking around and going, oh yeah, I need to look at, I don't look as good as that person, and so we got to lose weight. You know, we got to get in better shape because we're comparing ourselves to other people. And we look at, you know, our jobs, and we look at the stuff that we have, and we constantly, I think, are comparing ourselves to one another. We want more because someone else has what we don't, and we want to be what they have. I mean, why, you know, I mean, think about it. How many cell phones have you had in the last, you know, year or so? You know, we keep buying, trading in new cell phones all the time, constantly. Why? Because we got to have the latest and greatest like everybody else does. Because we're constantly comparing ourselves to one another and what one another has or doesn't have. We even compare ourselves religiously to one another, don't we? I think we really do. You know, on one side, I think oftentimes it's easy, we can look at someone else and say, oh, yeah, I'm just like this Pharisee, I'm not as bad as they are, so I'm doing okay. We look at maybe the sins that we know that someone else is involved in, and we feel real good about ourselves because we don't do that. You know? So I'm not like them, so I'm doing okay. And then sometimes maybe on the other end of the spectrum, we kind of look at other people and we compare ourselves and say, I'm not as good as they are, so therefore I can't do this or I can't do that. Even the things that the Lord has called us to do. And we say, well, I'm not good enough because I'm not as good as they are at this or that. And we give ourselves excuses for not doing what God wants us to do because we compare ourselves to one another, just like this Pharisee was doing, feeling good about himself because he's comparing himself to the robbers and everybody else out there and even the tax collectors. And, you know, in his day, boy, that would make somebody feel really good. Sure, I'm glad I'm not like a tax collector. We do the same thing so often. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, I'm talking about those who are doing the same thing and trying to feel good about what they're doing and so forth. He says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves by themselves, they are not wise. It doesn't do a whole lot of good for us to compare ourselves with one another. Either trying to make ourselves, you know, justified and righteous before God because we're not as bad, or trying to find excuses to not do what God wants us because we're not as good. You know, there's one comparison that I think we ought to make in our lives on a daily basis, and that's comparing ourselves to Jesus. Because you see, I know in my own life, and I probably could say this with all of us, that if we just compare ourselves to Jesus, we would always find ourselves wanting. Always find ourselves wanting. See? And that's as it should be, really, when you think about it. Jesus calls us not to be perfect. He calls us from wherever we are, whatever condition we're in, whatever sin is in our life. He calls us from that condition and challenges us to follow Him and to become more like Him. Not like our neighbors, not like our parents, not like our brothers and sisters, not like anybody else, but like Jesus. That's what He calls us and challenges us to do, is to follow Him. When we compare ourselves to Jesus, not to the tax collectors and the other folks that are out there, when we compare ourselves to Him, we'll never think too highly of ourselves. Jesus goes on to tell about the other man, the tax collector that is there. And notice how He describes this man's posture. Okay? He says this other man is standing at a distance. See? Standing at a distance. Basically showing true humility before God. Whereas the Pharisee, you know, you get the picture that he comes in and he's boldly standing up there before God saying, God, I've kept all the rules and so now you owe me. And here the tax collector can't even look up. And he beats his breast, which is a sign of humility in that culture. And he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says of these two men, this is the one who went home justified before God. Not the one who felt he was justified because he kept the rules. But the one who, as the writer of Hebrews tells us that we can and should do, that we're able to approach the throne of grace with confidence. You see? That we can come before God's throne. And notice that He says that we do that so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. That we can approach God's throne of grace knowing that we need His grace. But we do that with confidence, knowing that the help that we need to overcome whatever is going on in our life, that God will provide that to us. But you see, I think that part of it is all about the posture. It's all about how we stand before God. Do we stand before Him bold and arrogant, thinking that He owes us something somehow because we've kept all the rules? Or do we stand before God with confidence in His grace and mercy, knowing we haven't kept the rules and we can't keep the rules, but because of His grace and mercy, He'll give us what we need to help us in our time of need? Our confidence is not in ourselves and must not be, but rather it must be in God's promise to forgive. Two men went to the temple to pray, Jesus said. One left there justified before God because he approached God's throne in humility. James writes for us, in 4 and verse 10, humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. It's all about the posture that we come before God with. How do we stand? In humility, depending on His grace and mercy, or do we stand in our own self-righteousness, thinking that because we've done the things that we're supposed to do as best we can, trying to keep all the rules, that somehow God owes us something? Here's a question for you to think about while we're singing our invitation song. And the song is designed just as that, as an invitation for anyone to come that needs to respond, that needs to call upon God for forgiveness in our lives. Or for strength, for His power of His Spirit to help to find that help in our time of need. It's also there for anyone that's ready to give your life to Christ. If you're not a Christian, that you know that you can become one right now, today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, that you can do that right now this morning by confessing Him as Lord and repenting of your sins and having those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. That's what the invitation is really all about, for us to be able to approach God's throne of grace with confidence for whatever it is that we need. But I want you to think about this while we're singing this song. Which of these two men in this parable would you this morning best identify with? That's a tough question, isn't it? A tough question. Think about how you stand before God while we stand and sing this song. Let's stand together.